Right, let's get rid of that. That's Jess Glynn, and this is... what radio station am I on today? Expression FM, 87.7 FM. My name is Tony Horn, and with me are two of my oldest, dearest friends who I haven't seen for 26 years. Alex Spinner Borchardt.
That's me, yes, from around the same time.
Adrian Hobart.
True mark of friendship, isn't it? 26 years.
So what a journey. This is absolutely incredible. This is part of the reunion weekend. Hashtag reunion fever. I'll put my cards on the table straight away. I'm hungover. I don't mind admitting it.
Well, that's the, you can't just come down for a weekend and just have the Saturday evening reunion. So we had to have preparatory drinks last night.
Indeed.
Just to get into the mood.
First things first, massive thanks to Sophie here at the radio station who's organised this and, you know, reignited some friendships. I mean, Alex and I don't mind admitting, we fell out for 15 years. And because of this, we're now, you know, we're back together like... like sweethearts, and it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And Adrian stayed at my house when he was starting off in radio, and probably heard me sleeping with a dirty girl called Jackie next door. And
don't hold back, will you?
I think more than heard, dare I say it. I've still got the video.
And that was 1993. So we probably should explain who we are here at the radio station. So, Alex, you can go first. A failed physics graduate, I think.
Well, yes. And there's one reason for that, and that was University Radio Exeter. It becomes addictive.
You know,
a lot of time in the studio.
It's strange because we walked in here, and of course, we used to be URE 963, Berks, Marden, Doriod, Lafrauda, and somewhere
and the supermarket.
In stereo.
And under the steps of Devonshire House. And you drive up here today and you still see the sign for Devonshire House and you call it DH in your mind. And I said to Alex, I said, if anybody got me to do a radio show on a Saturday now, they'd just be laughing. And I didn't actually want to do the radio show today because I am still a radio, inverted commas, professional, inverted commas. So, busman's holiday and all of that. But what an absolute pleasure to be here. And Adrian Hobart, I don't even know what you blooming do now. You work for the BBC.
Well, I run a bunch of people who do exactly this for a living. So I run World Sport on the BBC now. World Service, so 40 million listeners normally, but this is a much better and more special audience for a Saturday afternoon than we normally get.
You put on weight.
Yeah, that's for sure. But then I was always the third fattest DJ in URE 963, wasn't I? So now I think I'm officially the first.
So I was 1989 to 93. Alex was 89 to about 91, but hung around
and,
like
and
a bad smell.
Limped until 92.
And Adrian here was about 1990.
90 to 94.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting because my relationship with the radio station was bizarre because I walked in here about the 1st of October 1989. I said, I need to be on the radio. And I was met by a guy called James Brokenshaw, who now is a government minister.
Minister for Immigration, I think.
Yeah. He's the guy that's saying, yes, you can come in or no, you can't. And, you know, Brokey was he's a pompous old tosspot, but I love him dearly. And... you know, we did a travel show together called A Leisurely Approach at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, right after Frog, the only DNA of the radio station, the Frog Prog, the joints, the nuts and bolts of the radio station.
I've listened to it online a couple of times recently because you can do that. And it is still exactly the same as it was in 1989. Well, the Frog
is Frog still playing 20-minute tracks and then
of course
going?
He's
playing
Frog Prog.
Yeah,
it's the Frog Prog. But no, he's frog always high. mixed contemporary music with his own Edison wax cylinders and you know a bit of everything.
Listen, I can tell you already, we're supposed to be on till 2:30. Whoever's on at 2:30, you don't even think about turning up till 3:00, okay? And then you might get in front of the mic at half past. And we're not going to play any songs. I thought about some songs that I associate with University Radio Exeter as it was, and I thought of Jesus Jones and Spiral Carpets, a song, The Beatles and the Stones by... Pass. I put it on my Twitter feed. I can't remember. And They Might Be Giants and Absolutely. Zoe, Sunshine on a Rainy Day. But even back in 1989... we were still playing a lot of Neil Diamond and ABBA.
Playing
you know?
We actually brought ABBA back. It was a major ABBA renaissance in the 90s, and it all started here.
That is odd. So the URE story, as it was, University Radio Exeter, 1989, I walk in here, and I say to James Brokenshaw, I need to be on the radio. And they put me on, and I did this travel show. And the very first thing I did was a 10-minute monologue about a trip to Peru. And it was pretty good. And I was trained by Paul. Paul's here somewhere. Paul should come in. Paul, I met last night. I haven't seen for almost 26 years. And he trained me. And he doesn't work in radio. And he was very kind last night. And he said, I showed you the desk and just knew that you could do it. And I always wanted to be on the radio. So I suppose what I would say, and Adrian probably back this up, is that URE, Expression FM, can take you to some incredible places. And for me personally, I ended up doing 18 years of breakfast shows in the northeast of England and the northwest, and I then became a ghostwriter, and that meant that I ended up writing like an X Factor winner's book, and PC David Rathband, who was shot by the gunman Raoul Moat, and a few others. I deal with blackmailers, murderers, drug smugglers, and it's just been an incredible journey, and it all began here. And that's why I suppose we're on today, because it is perhaps the once and only opportunity, unless this happens every year, that we will get to pay homage to our professional parents, if you like. So,
well, that's it. And it might be too much to squeeze our Zimmer frames in when we come back for the 50th anniversary.
I'll be dead. Alcohol will have killed me. Adrian Hobart.
Well, I'll have replacement bits by then. There's no question about that. That's on the way. But I think the thing about it is that, you know, this station has always been, when you show people round, and this is a lot flasher than it used to be.
Oh, my goodness me, isn't it?
It had its own aroma. I remember about 1992, 93, we arranged for Noel Edmonds to fly his helicopter onto the top field and then come and visit. This is the height of sort of Noel's house party. And he looked round and he was convinced he was being gotcha'd. But to be fair to him, eventually he realised we were serious and he spent an hour with us trying to sort of...
And funny enough, there was a newspaper article about his visit that appeared on the URE Facebook page yesterday for anybody who's on that.
Well, I think what we should say on that point is that social media, of course, wasn't happening when we were on the air. So 1989, not even the 1990s, Adrian Hobart. I was on the air in 1989. Jeez, that's a long time ago.
That is.
And, of course, the internet exploded probably really around the millennium. But because of it, you know, I'm able to reconnect here with friends and meet new friends. And I'd like to say two things. Firstly, I'd like to give out all our social media points. And the second is that there is a bond with Exeter University that never dies. And if somebody is serious about writing or being on the radio, and they want to call me on the Twitter, I am bizarrely at Horney Media, HORNEYMEDIA, and you will help anybody that was at Exeter University, because you will. It's the golden ticket. If you connect with somebody that was at this university and this radio station, you are friends for life, whether you know them or not.
And you're easy to find on Facebook. It's somebody, Tony Horn.
Thank you very much.
So there you go.
Yeah. Do you want to give out your bits if anybody wants to be a failed physicist or wants to run BBC?
I'll show you how not to do it.
I tend to struggle with all my addresses, but you'll find me at Hobie140. That's the word 140. God knows why I came up with that one about 5 years ago on Twitter.
Well, one of my oldest friends, the guy that gave me my first break at a station called Ocean Sound, which is probably now miserably called Heart, in Fareham in Hampshire, a guy called Chris Carnegie, who you, Alex, know. Carnage used to do a talk at Southampton University every year, and at the end, one or two people would go up to him and say, "How do I get into radio?" And he would always give them a break and say, "Give me a call on Monday." And I can't give anybody a job, but if there's anybody listening, either inside the radio station or across campus, or beyond, although I'm not allowed to say that, apparently.
the entire planet can hear this online.
Yeah,
anywhere.
Just Google me, and I'm offering you mentorship. And one thing that was bizarre, Adrian, I don't know if you've done this, but I applied last year to the University of Exeter mentor scheme, and they made me jump through hoops, some sort of 16-page online thing, and I got so fed up with it, I nearly gave up.
Yeah.
But then I found out, and they haven't even notified me, I found out on Twitter that I'd been accepted. So apparently from May next year, I'm mentoring somebody that wants to be in radio or writing, but I'm saying right now, you know, I've got 26 years of experience, I've got brilliant memories of this wonderful place, and if anybody wants to borrow my brain, it's slightly damaged, but you're welcome to it.
Absolutely. It's quite incredible just how many radio and television careers this station has launched.
We should talk about that, shouldn't we? Because when we were going to the Lemmy on a Friday night, Does Lemmy still exist, does it?
I believe so, yeah. I think that's one thing they can't get rid of, as well as Frog.
Tom York from Radiohead was doing the disco. I can't stand Radiohead. I think they're awful. But anyway,
they're one of the most influential bands of all time. I know it's not your thing. But then you didn't even get John Peel, so we know what you expect.
John Peel, who married a 15-year-old?
Well, apart from that,
okay. We should probably pay tribute to some of the people that we worked around. And I think one of the important things about the radio station here, and we are sitting in a glorious new studio, and the legacy of the previous generation should not be forgotten. So when we were here, somebody that you know, Adrian, Chris Bignall, I remember going to an emergency general meeting in the Lemmy on a Wednesday, and Biggers wanted to put through all this stuff that was never going to benefit the generation of students that we were in, but it benefited the next generation. And I remember going to lots of meetings at URE, as it was called, and they were always the talk was about moving. And to come here to find that we're at the other end of DH today is extraordinary, because you just believe that you have 1.5 passionate years at the radio station and nothing will ever get done. You think the same things come up time and time again. But there is an unspoken legacy that gets handed on from generation to generation. And when we were here, our forefathers were people like Kevin Howlett, who went on to be a legendary producer at Radio 1. People like John Bache, who's been a very important figure in commercial radio. I was mentored by the wonderful Nick Thatcher, who's too shy to come on but is standing outside. James Brokenshaw, MP. And amongst my contemporaries, and you guys can fill in, John Kay, who you'll see probably on BBC Breakfast tomorrow. He read my news every day. Lived in Kilmorey. The first time I met him, someone had just hung themselves in Kilmorey. Simon Viger, formerly a newsreader for Capital Radio in London, royal correspondent for Five News. Ted Kravitz. I trained Ted Kravitz, I believe, and Ted, I still have a tape of his show, Sex Talk 963, Ted Kravitz, the legendary pit line correspondent now for Sky, for the Formula One. So many other people to mention.
Russell Fuller,
Five Live, BBC. What is Russell doing?
He's the tennis correspondent now.
Tennis, yeah. And another brilliant broadcasters who never actually made it because they chose a more sensible option. And it's very precarious business. I mean, I've been lucky, I've worked hard, but it is a very precarious business. And so many other people as well.
Jim Proudfoot,
legendary commentator. And, you know, we were in the studio and in the RAM, and we were breathing the same DNA, and it was a wonderful time, wasn't it? And Adrian, you're just a year below me, but you walked in that slipstream and you had your own contemporaries.
Well, yeah, so I've got people who've now gone into the industry, and I think Ted, you know, was one of those people you sort of overlap with him. But, you know, we worked together on a lot of things, and a lot of producers as well. Matt Sidney couldn't be here today, but he's now, you know...
10 o'clock news?
Well, has been for many years, and has been defence producer and all sorts of things at the BBC. And
he's still over me for a meal in Soho, I believe.
Oh, that'll be Matt, he's probably listening now, actually. And Martin Turner, who has been working on Darren Brown shows as the executive producer for a long time, and Real Hustle, you know, you name it, he's got a lot of credits. Banzai was another one of his things that he worked on.
I never knew that.
He's an incredibly talented, like, you know, entertainment producer and in camera guy. So, you know, it's amazing how many people come through. But I've actually been lucky enough to come back and do a little bit of the old mentoring without the multi-page sort of exercise of showing off. Which is a nightmare. And I work now with people who I met at the 30th anniversary, who I sort of had a drink with. They said, "How do I get in?" And three or four of them now work for BBC Sport.
Well, so, you know, there's a very interesting point. I mean, firstly, that underlines the incredible invisible network. If you ring, you know, students listening to this right now, you know, you've got your whole life ahead of you, as people say, and you won't appreciate what Adrian is saying there. But the contact, the connection with Exeter University. I mean, I did Blimmin' Italian with Santa Palma Tompkinson, Tara's sister, you know, whose godfather's Prince Charles. And my Italian was a bit of a joke, I've got to say, but in my year abroad, I only spent about 24 weeks there, but I managed to lie to the Italian department. I'd spent the whole year there. And in oral conversation, I would slag off the royal family sitting next to Santa Palma Tompkinson, whose godfather's Prince Charles.